All right, and once again, we are going to go ahead and give this now to Pastor Clark. Hello, Pastor Clark.
Hey, good morning, Brother Vic, and thank you, and Sister Chavez, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to say that we are very, very happy to have Sister Chavez and Brother Chavez and their family here preaching for us. These folks are a blessing, and we really love them and have much confidence in them. And Sister Chavez, I would like to say that I really appreciate you agreeing to give us this devotion today. And church, I want to say that I appreciate Sister Chavez. She really has a burden for the work of God. I can tell she really loves the people of God. And there was a time that she called me once about one of our young people, even after they had left preaching a revival here, and asked if she could contact them and pray with them. And I deeply appreciated that, and of course was happy to see her do that. And I just want to say that we are very happy that she's going to be speaking. And Sister Chavez is a great example in spirit and also in modesty, and we appreciate her and the example that she is. And above all, she has a great positive attitude. And so, Sister Chavez, God bless you today, and I'm going to turn it to you at this time to just give us what's on your heart.
Okay. So I've never done this on the phone. I've done other ways of speaking, but I'm just going to speak, and I can't hear anything, so I'm just going to talk. I'm going to tell you
a little story.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a story of a young newlywed couple. There was a young couple. They get married, and she's cooking, you know, if you remember that time. I mean, I still like to cook every chance I get, but I'd rather eat out every chance I get. But there's a young couple. She makes a roast, and she cuts the ends off. She cuts about 3 inches off of each end. So if you can imagine this, she cuts that good part that gets nice and crispy. She just cuts it off. And if you're a meat eater like I am, I love those burnt ends. And every time she would make a roast, she would cut that off. And her husband asked her, "Why are you cutting it off?" And she told him, she said, "Oh, I don't know. That's just the way my mom does it." So life goes on. And he cannot get it out of his head. Why is she cutting the meat? Why does she cut that part off? So he asks her mother, his mother-in-law, and she says, "I don't know. That's just the way my mother did it." So he's on a mission. He wants to know why the ends are being cut off this roast. And he asks grandmother, they're at a family get-together, and he asks Grandma, why do you guys, why do you cut off the ends of the meat? And she said, "I don't know. We'd have to ask Mom," which is great, Grandma. That's just the way I've always done it. That's the secret to make it taste so well. And so they ask Great Grandma. He asks Great Grandma. He's the one who's on the mission to find out. And he asks her, "Why do you cut the ends off the meat?" You know, and he tells her the story, the whole spill, what his wife cuts it off. And she said, "Oh, well, our ovens were so small. They're not as big, they weren't as big as they are now. So in order to make the roast fit, we used to cut off the ends." So he figures this out and realizes, my wife is cutting the ends for no reason. And it's just a tradition that she has kept up. And so with that little story, I want to talk a little bit about traditions, a little bit of culture, and I'm just going to barely touch on it. I think I only have a few minutes, so I'm going to get through as fast as I can. I want to talk about breaking away from anything that prevents our personal growth in God. And although that was a silly story, oftentimes our deepest personal problems are rooted in something we think that we can't control. And it could be dysfunction in your family, behavioral patterns that came from a parent before us. It could be, you know, your dad was a workaholic, so you feel like, I have to be a workaholic. Church or no church, I'm going to be at work. You agree to overtime, all these great things. It could be neglect. It could be something that maybe seemed really small. It could be an ethical tradition. Sometimes, you know, as people, we get things from our families, from our mom, from our dad, and we bring it into living for God. And sometimes God wants us to drop some things. Like, I like those burnt ends. And I'm hoping that this couple decided to keep those burnt ends, because when you fry up those ends on a roast, it's really good. And so there are some things that we could be missing out in God that are really good for us. And I'm going to start with Abraham in Joshua 24:1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So Abraham's father served other gods. I'm going to talk about a personal tradition, I guess. Maybe I can say that, a tradition or a personal thing that I had to break for me personally that came from my mother, and that is called unfaithfulness. And have you ever, I know as a young person growing up, I used to think, oh, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to do it this way. And I would just set it in my head, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be like this. And there are some things that we do need to be stubborn in and keep our guns to and say, I'm going to do it. And when you press towards that mark, you press towards it and you stay on that track to do it. And I'm going to talk about unfaithfulness because I grew up in a family. I grew up actually in a good family. My dad was a very hard worker. I had everything I needed. I was pretty rotten. And anything I wanted, it was a good life. But there were some things in my life that were toxic. And my mom had a very, 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 she had a mental illness. And if you can visualize it, and I'm trying to speak more visually because I'm alone in a room right now. I feel like I'm just speaking to the wall. But if you can visualize a dark cloud and the dark cloud of mental illness, how it affects people around you, and especially coming from a mother, how it affects her children and her husband. And my dad used to even tell my sister and I, which were the youngest of five, he used to tell us, watch your mom, take care of your mom. She's crazy. And that word crazy was not funny to us. It was a serious word. My mom was crazy. And when I say that, I'm not saying it disrespectfully. Her ideas, her thinking was off. She was crazy. My mom was a seeker. She would go to every church. And so much so that my oldest sister is a Jehovah's Witness. My brother, he was all messed up, confused. I have another sister who is seeking God, and she has found a lot of God through my younger sister and I's example. And my brother has actually, this is a testimony, the last few years, I would say in the last 5 years, he has grown. He goes to a Pentecostal church, and he still carries a lot of traditional things in his life, but they're baby steps, and he's growing, and his family is growing. But for me personally, this is Sister Chavez, I'm going to talk about my battle coming to church as a young girl. My sister and I began to go to the Pentecostal church that was only a block away from our house, which I believe that was ordained by God, because he knew what course my sister and I needed to take.
That is right. Amen.
There was a Sunday school teacher, and she caught our attention one day while my sister and I were walking home from school. And I was in sixth grade. Everybody knows sixth grade is a very hard, hard time in a young girl's life. Your body is developing. Emotions are different. There's so much, I would say, the easiest word to say, turmoil in a mind of a young sixth grader, 12 years old, 11 going on 12. So I was 11 years old. My sister and I were walking home from school. School had just started. You know, that whole new, you have new clothes, everything, you know, the first month of school. Sister Teresa Javot, and many of you know her as Sister Wadislawski, that's Brother Tim Wadislawski's wife. She was a Sunday school teacher, and she saw my sister and I walking home from school. We kind of would roam home, and so it'd be, you know, towards the evening where we'd be getting home. And she said, "Hey," you know, she screamed out, and if you can imagine this, a field of grass, and she's just like, we see her, she sees us. She runs over, invites my sister and I to Sunday school. And it was hard to say no to her because she was so beautiful, and her big bright blue eyes, her beautiful long blonde hair. And I can visually remember this, and I want you to see this vision of this beautiful young girl in a long flowy dress, and she was just so beautiful. And it was, my sister and I just looked at her, and I thought, that's all I could think of, like, how beautiful is she? My goodness. Well, she offered to pick us up for Sunday school, and we said sure, although we lived a block away from the church. And this became a thing for her. She would come to our door, she would pick us up every Sunday morning. And it didn't last very long, because I would say maybe 2 months into it, there was a revival. And I don't remember his first name, but Brother Pounds, he was the evangelist, and he was there, and she was just, she talked it up. She's like, "You guys need to come to revival." I didn't know what revival was. I said, "Okay." My little sister said, "Okay." And we're only a year apart, my sister and I, and we're 11, I'm 11 years old, so she's 10, Sister Wadislawski, she says, "You guys need to come to revival." She brings us to church, to revival. She's at our door honking every time there's church. Well, there was this moment when she came, and there was a little thing we would do at home. We would put our hair in pigtails, and we would all get haircuts. Well, I was in the middle of a haircut, and so half of my pigtail was cut. One of my pigtails was already cut off. Then I hear Sister Wadislawski knocking on the door, and she's honking. She was just, you know, she's the high energy that she had. That was just part of her personality. And, "Come on, girls, let's go. We're going to church." And so I had my hair half cut. And so I just wrapped my hair up, and I went to church with her. My hair is half cut. Remember this, okay? This is important. If I get to share the rest of this testimony later, I'll do that. But I'm talking about faithfulness. And that night, I got the Holy Ghost, and God convicted me about my hair. And so I'm going to leave you with this little part on this little story. I never finished that haircut. So here I am, a young girl. I made this big life decision of not finishing my haircut. I just got the Holy Ghost. And this miraculous, this feeling of having the Holy Ghost, it's so overwhelming. Then I go home to this dark cloud. And so if you can imagine, from one world of God, and then you go back home to this beautiful home, but it's plagued with mental illness. Mm-hmm. And it's just plagued with, you know, dad's not home, he's at work, constantly at work. So my sister and I, my little sister and I, we began to continue going to church. I began to grow in God. The women from the church, I started learning from them how to dress, how to behave, I learned all my P's and Q's in the house of God. And I'm telling you, young people, if you don't have any examples, you come to church. You will find examples. You will learn. Young women, older women, we have fine examples in the church. And you can learn how to live for God. They don't even have to tell you how to dress. You can just watch. And it's beautiful watching the women of God. And my mom began to come to church. She began to follow. She got the Holy Ghost. She began to dive into the Word of God. God began to change my mom. God began to heal her. And in the process of healing, it took many, many years. In fact, my mom did not receive her complete healing until after I was out of the house, married, and I had children. And it was a long process for her. But through that time, imagine my time. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm 12 years old now. This is right when I was turning 12. I'm in sixth grade. 12 years old to 18. Okay, during this time, I'm living in the home. My mom's learning about God. She's loving the modesty. She's loving everything about it. But she had unfaithfulness in her. And it was a process because she had to learn. And I knew there were times, you know, my mom was, oh, I'm going to stay home. Me and your dad are going to go out to dinner, whatever the case was. And somehow in my young mind, I figured out that I needed to be in the house of God. And there were a lot of demands at home. I had to have my room cleaned. Our house was huge, okay? We had to have two living rooms cleaned, a kitchen. You know, my sister and I, we would bucket. We would get all our schoolwork done. We had to have good grades, too. There was a lot of demands. There was a lot of pressure. The yard had to be done. Everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be just right. The buds on the roses, my mom had a huge garden. It was huge. And she had OCD. The buds, if a rose was wilting, we had to make sure all the buds were off. I mean, it was overkill, if you want to. It was a lot. But God was starting to mold me and teach me some things during this time. Okay, I hope I'm not going over my time. Am I over my time?
So you're doing fine.
Okay, so God is teaching me faithfulness. And I'm working hard. I'm working extra hard. And so I can make it to the house of God on time. And I learned that at that young age to be at church every time the doors were open, even though I had a lot of pressure at home. And it started so young for me. And I know that when you're at that age, when you're becoming a teenager, that's a crucial time. You develop mm-hmm. habits, a lot of things. And I did not recognize what I was doing. I did not recognize I was breaking a cycle of unfaithfulness. And I would fight with my mom. My mom would fight with me. And I had to give a lot. I had to give and take. But my goal was to get to the house of God. And I can say that not once during that time that I can remember, not once did I miss church because I had to clean my room or because I had to study for a test, because I had to go with my parents out of town, because I somehow figured out how to work with my mom. And remember, I was working with a mentally ill person who was very, very aggressive, very hard. And I worked through that. And I'm thankful that I don't know if it was just my personality type, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm considered a first generation or second generation. I like to consider myself second generation because today my mom is so faithful to God, and she lives for God with all her heart. And I want to go into Genesis and 11:31. I talk about Abraham real quick. And Abraham and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. And in Genesis 17, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. We all have to make a covenant with God individually. We cannot blame mom, dad, our environment for our choices. Our faithfulness is so important to God. Neither in Genesis 17:5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram. God changed his name. By thy name shall be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made. God changes our name. When we are buried in his name, we are a new creature. We are born in Christ. We have a new family where we learn how to live for God. And in Genesis 17:6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Who wants to be fruitful? I want to be fruitful. It should be our goal in life to be fruitful in God. In verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee. This covenant we make when we get the Holy Ghost and when we get baptized. How in are you? I want to be all in, 100%. We have to fight for this. Sometimes there are things we have to fight for. And sometimes there are things we have to cut off that are generational things in our family. And in order for God to make our seeds fruitful, to make our life great, the best that it can be. Mm-hmm. When they made this covenant in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Abraham came from nowhere. His dad served many gods. Abraham was a nobody, but he made a covenant with God. And in verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. I believe we have power. God gives us the power of choice, and we control our choices. We can change things in our life. We can turn things in from whatever direction, our family, our generational things, the culture, or all of that, we can turn things. When we are buried in the name of Jesus, our culture is so colorful in God. It's so colorful. We have hope, we have love, we have peace, we have joy, we have structure, God's way. And I'm going to close with James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God.
Yes, yes. Amen.
So that's it. He was called a friend of God.
And yes, then, yes. Well, Sister Chavez, this was very, very, very good. This was moving, and I appreciate you taking time to tell about this today. It was a very fitting devotion, and I need to talk to you about part two. I'm already getting texts from people in the church that says, oh, I want to hear more of this. And I agree. It was very, very good. And church, I want to remind you that all of these devotions are recorded, and you can go to the website in the archive area and pull this down. I've done this many times. I've had Brother Vic send me different devotions that I was not able to hear or I wanted to hear again. So, Sister Chavez, God bless you. This was beyond tremendous, and we really, really appreciate you guys. God bless you. All right, Brother Vic.
Thank you.
I'm turning it to you. Brother Vic, are you there?